The following are statements made by those and those who follow them who, when it comes to behavior, want you to dialogue with them so they can do what they want. When they want, that is, do wrong, disobey, sin, that is, lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment, that the world is stimulating without having a guilty conscience, with your approval, that is, affirmation. So they can rule over you and all that God has given you, using you and it for their carnal pleasures without you judging, condemning, and casting them out. These are the children of disobedience, for whom the lake of fire, that is never quenched, prepared for the master facilitator of change and all who follow after him, is waiting following death. Revelation 10 verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Karl Marx. The philosophers have only interpreted the world in different ways. The objective, however, is change. Karl Marx's 11th thesis on Feuerbach, which is inscribed on Karl Marx's tomb. All Karl Marx was saying is that the fathers, who he called philosophers, equated to the head of the home, the tribe, the nation, the religious group, etc., who differ in position from one another are the cause of division amongst the children, that is, the people. For unity, that is, worldly peace and socialist harmony to become reality, where man can sin without feeling guilty, without being judged, condemned, and cast out agents of change, known as change agents or facilitators of change, in his day called the Vanguard Party, must help the children, the people, liberate themselves from the father's authority, as the master facilitator of change, did in the garden in Eden, replacing discussion, what the father says with dialogue, their feelings of the moment, so they can be their self, able to lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment, that the world is stimulating without having a guilty conscience, without being judged, condemned, and cast out. That is with the people's affirmation. Ronald Havelock, a change agent, should know about the process of change, how it takes place, and the attitudes, values, and behaviors that usually act as barriers. He should know who in his system are the defenders or resistors of innovations, that is, resistors of change. Ronald Havelock, A Change Agent's Guide to Innovation in Education. A federal grant reads, during the period of innovation, that is, change, is taking place, an environment is invisible. The present is always invisible because the whole field of attention is so saturated with it. It becomes visible only when it has been superseded by a new environment. Federal Education Grant, December 1969, Behavior Science in Teacher Education Program, commonly referred to as BSTEP, being able to lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world is stimulating, to get what you want and do what you want in an environment where you will not be judged, condemned, or cast out, blinds you to where it is really taking you, to what it will cost you in the end, that is, the price you will pay with your soul. The limiting, that is, restraining of government over your life, as in the Constitution, was done in an effort to protect your soul, the right of the father to train up his children to know right from wrong from being told. All federal grants are subject to this grant. The book 1984 was written in response to this grant, exposing what was in it. In other words, if you participate in using this grant, you will not know what hit you until it is too late, that is, change has already taken place, you have lost your God-given freedom, your unalienable rights, and there is no going back. You have sold your soul to the master facilitator of change so you can do what you want, lust without having a guilty conscience, without being judged, condemned, and cast out. The purpose of this grant, while it spends the people's money on social projects, people call it free money, which is actually debt money, their children's inheritance, it is really all about controlling the people who must tolerate immorality in the name of the people, silencing, censoring, removing anyone who judges, condemns, and attempt to cast them out. Luke 6 verse 36, and he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Jeremiah 6 verse 15. 8:12, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Matthew 23 verse 33. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? 2 Timothy 3 verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Matthew 16 verse 26. For what is a man profited, if he shall gain the whole world, and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The facilitators of change's agenda is to seduce you into justify your carnal nature so he can do wrong, disobey, sin, that is lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world is stimulating without being judged, condemned, or cast out, that is with your affirmation. The facilitator of change, perceiving his self as being the personification of the people, who, like him, lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment the world stimulates, hating restraint, sees it as his duty to justify the people's natural inclination to lust after pleasure in order to justify his natural inclination to lust after pleasure. When you question the facilitator of change's actions, he will respond with, "It is not just about you," really meaning it is all about me, so I can lust after pleasure without having a guilty conscience, with your affirmation. If you refuse to affirm me, that is my lusts, or get in my way, the people will remove, negate you, since having justified their lusts, I now own them. It appears I must keep an eye on you from now on for the good of the people. That is for my good. The role of the facilitator of change is to make behavior subject to dialogue instead of discussion in order for him to do wrong, disobey, sin, that is lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world stimulates without having a guilty conscience. If I can find out what you are lusting after, which dialogue when it comes to behavior does, and, removing any fear of being judged, condemned, cast out, offer to help you attain it, I own you. It is all the serpent, the master facilitator of change, did in the garden in Eden with the woman, with Adam, following her. 2 Peter 2 verse 3, "And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you." Carl Rogers acknowledged the power the facilitator of change, that is the group psychotherapist, has over you, your spouse, your children, your neighbors, your legislators, your leaders, your judges, your minister if he is given a position of authority. Rogers wrote, "If we have the power or authority to establish the necessary conditions, the predicted behaviors, our potential ability to influence or control the behavior of groups will follow. We can choose to use our growing knowledge to enslave people in ways never dreamed of before, depersonalizing them, controlling them by means so carefully selected that they will perhaps never be aware of their loss of personhood. We know how to change the opinions of an individual in a selected direction, without his ever becoming aware of the stimuli which changed his opinion. We know how to influence the behavior of individuals by setting up conditions which provide satisfaction for needs of which they are unconscious, but which we have been able to determine. We can achieve a sort of control under which the controlled, though they are following a code much more scrupulously than was ever the case under the old system, nevertheless feel free. They are doing what they want to do, not what they are forced to do. By a careful design, we control not the final behavior, but the inclination to behavior, the motives, the desires, the wishes. The curious thing is that, in that case, the question of freedom never arises. While discussion cannot save you, it is the only means by which you can communicate with God and Him with God having the final say. God is God in discussion. When it comes to behavior, when you turn to dialogue, you cannot hear from God, and He will not hear from you, since in dialogue you are God, making yourself equal with Him, breaking the first commandment. When it comes to behavior, in dialogue, as a child of disobedient, you justify yourself, your flesh, your carnal desires. In discussion, as a child of obedience, you humble yourself, die to your flesh, deny your carnal desires in order to hear and know the truth, doing the Father's will. This is why those of and for the world turn to dialogue, how they feel and what they think, the wisdom of men. When it comes to behavior, instead of to the Word of God, what the Father and the Son say, so they can do wrong, disobey, sin, lust after pleasure, killing the unborn, the elderly, the innocent, the righteous, and anyone else who gets in their way without having a guilty conscience, with impunity, at least until death. All of society, when it comes to behavior, has turned to dialogue, which has cursed this nation. For example, when a judge turns to discussion, to what the Constitution says he will serve the citizens of the nation, restraining his self, recognizing the people's God-given rights, but when he turns to dialogue, to his feelings and thoughts of the moment that the world is stimulating, to what can I get out of this for me? He will make law and the people subject to his carnal desires, doing so in the name of the people, liberating the people and himself from godly restraint. Norman Brown, "By dialectic, I mean an activity of consciousness, struggling to circumvent the limitations imposed by the formal logical law of contradiction. Norman O. Brown, Life Against Death, The Psychoanalytical Meaning of History. All Brown was saying is, I'm trying to figure out how I can get around what my parents just told me to do. Anytime you take a philosophy class, you hear a lot about the word dialectic, as in dialectic process or dialectic reasoning. But nobody really spends the time to explain what it really is. It is simply dialogue. In an environment establishing behavior through discussion, what the father says. Anyone insisting upon dialogue is fermenting rebellion, anarchy, and revolution. Conversely, when behavior is being established through dialogue, how a person feels and what they think. Anyone insisting upon discussion is perceived as being argumentative, negative, not a team player, a fascist, divisive, intolerant, hateful, maladjusted, irrational, unreasonable, prejudiced, a resistor to change, etc., needed to be converted or else silenced, censored, and if he persists, removed. In the former, anyone who insists upon dialogue needs to repent. In the latter, anyone insisting upon discussion must be either converted or be silenced, censored, and, if they persist, be removed from the environment for the good of the people. That is, for the good of the facilitator of change. All of this is based upon the ideology that in order for the child to become himself, thinking and acting according to his carnal nature, anyone who gets in his way, that prevents him from become himself must be removed from the environment. George Hegel, the child, contrary to appearance, is the absolute, the rationality of the relationship. He is what is enduring and everlasting, the totality which produces itself once again as such. George Hegel, System of Ethical Life. By Hegel placing the child's carnal nature over and therefore against the father's authority, he liberated the child out from under the father's authority, to become as he was before the father's first command, rule, fact, or truth came into his life, separating him from his self, his lust for pleasure and the world that stimulates it. He could then become of and for self and the world only, which dialogue, when applied to behavior, accomplishes, is its only outcome. Sounding more like Karl Marx than Karl Marx himself, who was not yet born, Hegel could then say, on account of the absolute and natural oneness of the husband, the wife, and the child, where there is no antithesis of person to person, no top-down order or of subject to object, the surplus is not the property of one of them, since their indifference is not a formal or a legal one. By making the child's carnal nature the standard for behavior, what everyone has in common, your spouse, your children, your property, your business, and even your soul, is not yours but are all subject to those who propagate this ideology. George Hegel. When a man has finally reached the point where he does not think he knows it better than others, that is, when he has become indifferent to what they have done badly, and he is interested only in what they have done right, then peace and affirmation have come to him. George Hegel in Carl Friedrich, The Philosophy of Hegel. The opposite of right is wrong, not badly, which is an opinion. By Hegel replacing the word wrong with the word badly, he removed the guilty conscience for doing wrong. Thus he removed any fear of being judged, condemned, and cast out for not doing the father's will. He replaced discussion, right-wrong, with dialogue, feelings. Karl Marx. Once the earthly family is discovered to be the secret of the holy family, the former must then itself be destroyed, vernichtet, that is, annihilated, that is, negated in theory and in practice. Karl Marx, Fourth Thesis on Feuerbach. All Karl Marx was saying is, once discussion is found to be the language of both the earthly father and the heavenly father, where the father has the final say, it must be replaced with dialogue, the language of the child, with the child having the final say, negating the father's authority in the child's thoughts, directly affecting his actions. Have I said that already? Heraclitus. Every grown man of the Ephesians should hang himself and leave the city to the boys. Karl Marx built his ideology off of Heraclitus, who laid the foundation of thought for the Stoics. Immanuel Kant, Lawfulness Without Law. Immanuel Kant, Critique of Judgment. All Immanuel Kant was saying is, we must create a world where the child's carnal nature, the law of the flesh, reigns without the law of the father, having to do right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth getting in the way. Karl Marx, laws must not fetter human life, but yield to it. They must change as the needs and capacities of the people change. Karl Marx, Critique of Hegel's Philosophy of Right. Karl Marx is saying laws must not get in the way of my lusts. The agenda in all of this is to prevent parents from filling their children's mind with laws that interfere with their carnal nature. Wilfred Bion was director of the Tavistock Institute, the global headquarters for change agents. He gave us a concise dictum for those advancing the change process. The empty space is you talking to yourself in the moment, with dialogue being used to justify yourself or discussion doing what you are told. The change agenda's agenda is to prevent discussion, the father from having any say. When, in a meeting or in the classroom, you are asked to be positive and not negative, you are being pressured out of fear of being rejected by the group, out of your lust for the approval of others, into making your behavior subject to dialogue, where your lust for pleasure and resentment toward restraint has the final say instead of being subject to discussion, where the father has the final say. Anyone telling others how to behave according to what the father says in a be positive, not negative environment, insisting everyone do what he says will feel the sensation of being tossed out a window for preaching absolutes, for causing division, for not being a team player, for being divisive, hateful, maladjusted, a lower order thinker, a fascist, unadaptable to change, a resistor of change, etc. When it comes to behavior, your participation, which requires you to replace what the father says with your and the other people's feelings of the moment, liberates you and them from the father's authority system, allowing you to be yourself and them to be their self, thinking and acting according to your carnal nature and them according to their carnal nature, thinking and acting according to the impulses and urges of the moment, that the environment is stimulating, doing what you and they want to do instead. In that environment, anyone insisting upon discussion, insisting upon everyone doing what the father says, is perceived as being argumentative. Needing to go with the process, to go with the flow, get along with the group, be tolerant of ambiguity, tolerant of deviance, tolerant of immorality, we are talking about behavior after all, or be silenced, censored, and or removed, that is, be martyred for the sake of the group, for the sake of worldly peace and socialist harmony. Martyr being the Greek word for witness. It is an absolute. Anyone insisting upon discussion in an environment insisting upon dialogue is going to be martyred. It is the nature of the beast. Literally, Theodore Adorno, using social environmental forces to change the parent's behavior toward the child. Theodore Adorno, the authoritarian personality. Anyone coming between parents and their children, coming between the future vocation of their children and their children, while at the same time establishing their children's behavior upon their own carnal nature, liberates the children from their parents' authority. Warren Bennies, any non-family-based collectivity, that is, group psychotherapist, facilitator of change, that intervenes between parent and child and attempts to regulate and modify the parent-child relationship, will have a democratizing impact on that relationship. In order to effect rapid change, one must mount a vigorous attack on the family, lest the traditions of present generations be preserved. It is necessary, in other words, artificially to create an experiential chasm between parents and children, to insulate the children in order that they can more easily be indoctrinated with new ideas. If one wishes to mold children in order to achieve some future goal, one must begin to view them as superior. One must teach them not to respect their tradition-bound elders, who are tied to the past and know only what is irrelevant. Warren Bennis, The Temporary Society. For the Marxist, as with the psychotherapist, it is not the father who created the child, it is not God who created man, but it is the child who created the father, it is man who created God. Rejecting, rather denying the father's authority, the Marxist has to figure out where the father's authority originated. Their answer is, when the children obeyed their parents when they wanted to do their thing, they create the father's authority system. Karl Marx. The life which he has given to the object sets itself against him as an alien and hostile force. Karl Marx, Mega I 3. For the Marxist, for the facilitator of change, the only way for man to be freed from God's authority is to negate respect toward parental authority. By justifying the child's lust for pleasure that the world stimulates in a non-judgmental environment, the child is able to reject his parents' authority, turning him against his parents and their authority, thus negating faith in God and obedience to his law. Isaiah 30 verse 9, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. When a child is free to share his lusts without fear of judgment, condemnation, being cast out, he sears his conscience, justifying in his mind his rejection of his parents' authority. This is the role of the therapist, doing what the master therapist did with the woman in the garden in Eden, creating a positive, ye shalt not surely die environment, removing fear of being judged, condemned, and cast out so she could do what she wanted without having a guilty conscience, that is, without having any fear of being held accountable in gendered change. Genesis 3 verses 1 to 6. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? This is a neurolinguistic construct, an embedded statement in a question, sensitizing a person to their lusts, when it comes to right and wrong behavior, beginning the process of liberating a person's lust out from under their fear of judgment, that is out from under the Father's authority, bring dialogue forward out from under the restraint of discussion, which is one of the most powerful forms of hypnosis. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. She revealed her lust, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Removing the negative, that is fear of judgment, which was not a lie regarding the here and now, that is the tree itself did not kill her or Adam, but a lie regarding the there and then, with God removing her and Adam from having access to the tree of life for their disobedience, then after death both coming to judgment, that is inheriting eternal life or eternal death. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, which dialogue does. Everyone is a god in dialogue, knowing good and evil, according to their carnal nature. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, evaluating, aufheben, from her senses, that is from her understanding she made herself the establisher of right and wrong behavior, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Genesis 3 verses 1 to 6, emphasis added. Eric Fromm. We are proud that in his conduct of life man has become free from external authorities, which tell him what to do and what not to do. All that matters is to give up God. Eric Fromm, Escape from Freedom. Theodore Adorno. Our aim is not merely to describe prejudice, what the Father says, but to explain it in order to help in its eradication. Eradication means re-education, replacing discussion, what the Father says with dialogue, how the child feels and what he thinks in his classroom experience. Theodore Adorno, The Authoritarian Personality. As mentioned before, all teachers are certified, and schools accredited today based upon their use of what are called Bloom's taxonomies as their curriculum in their classroom. Benjamin Bloom, in his second taxonomy, listed two men who represented his Weltanschauung, that is, who represented his worldview, Eric Fromm and Theodore Adorno. What they and Bloom had in common was their rejection of the Father's authority. This is what is deliberately missing in his taxonomies. Benjamin Bloom. Bloom's taxonomies are a psychological classification system used to develop attitudes and values which are not shaped by the parents. There are many stories of the conflict and tension that these new practices are producing between parents and children. David Krathwohl, Benjamin S. Bloom, Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 2, Affective Domain, commonly referred to as by which. Norman Brown and Herbert Marcuse explained the use of psychology in the advancement of Marxism. Norman Brown. Human consciousness can be liberated from the parental complex only by being liberated from its cultural derivatives, the paternalistic state and the patriarchal God. Freud and Hegel are, like Marx, compelled to postulate external domination and its assertion by force in order to explain repression. The repression of normal adult sexuality is required only by cultures which are based on patriarchal domination. Adult sexuality, restricted by rules to maintain family and society, is a clear instance of that subordination of the pleasure principle to the reality principle, which Brown defines as the Father's authority, doing right and not wrong according to his standards, which is repression, and therefore leads to neurosis, that is, the child having to do the Father's will while wanting to do his own instead, having a guilty conscience when he does his own thing, making him neurotic. According to Freud, The ultimate essence of our being is erotic and demands activity according to the pleasure principle. The foundation on which the man of the future will be built is already there, in the repressed unconscious. The foundation has to be recovered. This is where the use of dialogue in the classroom when it comes to established behavior comes in. In the words of Thoreau, we need pray for no higher heaven than the pure senses can furnish, a purely sensuous life. Our present senses are but rudiments of what they are destined to become. Norman O. Brown, Life Against Death, The Psychoanalytical Meaning of History. Sigmund Freud considered all children as being sexually active, thus being repressed because of the father's authority, as well as neurotic for do the father's will, wanting to be approved by the father while thinking upon, imagining or role-playing in their mind, that which comes natural to them, that which the father would disapprove of. Theodore Adorno. The individual may have secret thoughts which he will under no circumstances reveal to anyone else if he can help it. To gain access is particularly important, for here may lie the individual's potential. Theodore Adorno, The Authoritarian Personality. By finding what a person is dialoguing with himself about, regarding what he has been told he cannot do and providing him an opportunity to share it, without fear of being judged, condemned, or cast out, he can be brought into participation in the process of change. Kenneth Benny. Persons will not come into full partnership in the process until they register dissatisfaction. Kenneth Benny, Human Relations in Curriculum Change. Herbert Marcuse, explaining Sigmund Freud's view of history, where man's agenda is to not only kill the father but also to devour the father as well, liberating himself from the father's authority once and for all, so he can practice incest without being judged, condemned, and cast out, quoting. Freud wrote, the hatred against patriarchal suppression, a barrier to incest, the desire for the sons to return to the mother culminates in the rebellion of the exiled sons, the collective killing and devouring of the father. It is not really a decisive matter whether one has killed one's father or abstained from the deed, if the function of the conflict and its consequences are the same. Herbert Marcuse, Eros and Civilization, A Psychological Inquiry into Freud. Irvin Yalom. Freud noted that patricide and incest are part of man's deepest nature. Irvin D. Yalom, The Theory and Practice of Group Psychotherapy. Paul Tillich. A stranger, even if his name were God, who imposes commands upon us must be resisted. He must be killed because nobody can stand him. Paul Tillich in Leonard F. Wheat, Paul Tillich's Dialectical Humanism. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. 1 John 2 verse 16. While those of and for the world love pleasure, using children to satisfy their lusts, the Father loves his children, giving himself for them. Sigmund Freud's history of the prodigal son is not of the son coming to his senses, humbling himself, returning home, submitting himself to his father's authority. Learning his inheritance was not his father's money, but his father's love for him, Luke 15 verses 11 to 24. But of the son joining with his friends, returning home, killing the father, taking all that was his, the father's, using it to satisfy their carnal desires, that is their lusts, killing all the fathers in the land, devouring the fathers, so all the children could be the same, that is like them, thereby affirming them, that is their incest, justifying and supporting their control over them. Both Brown and Marcuse recognized the use of dialogue in the Garden in Eden, where the woman replaced God's authority, his word with herself, with her lusts, with her carnal desires, with how she felt and what she thought in the moment, with psychology. Norman Brown. To experience Freud is to partake a second time of the forbidden fruit. Brown. Herbert Marcuse. The original sin must be committed again. We must again eat from the tree of knowledge in order to fall back into the state of innocence. Marcuse. Karl Marx. To enjoy the present reconciles us to the actual. Karl Marx, Critique of Hegel's Philosophy of Right. By beginning with pleasure, making the enjoyment of the present the purpose of life, what all men have in common, hatred toward the father and his authority would automatically become the outcome. Mao Zedong, words and actions should help to unite, and not divide, the people. In order to have unity, worldly peace, and socialist harmony, what the father says must be replaced with dialogue, how the child feels and what he thinks when it comes to behavior. Abraham Maslow, Marxian theory needs Freudian-type instinct theory to round it out, and of course, vice versa. Third-force psychology is also apimarxian in these senses, that is, including the most basic scheme as true good social conditions are necessary for personal growth, bad social conditions stunt human nature. This is to say, one could reinterpret Marx into a self-actualization-fostering third and fourth-force psychology philosophy. Abraham Maslow, in his journals, The Journals of Abraham Maslow, Marx and Freud both promoted the spirit of rebellion, anarchy, and revolution, making man subject to stimulus response, that is, create a healthy environment, whatever you might think that is, and you can create a healthy person. The Protestant Reformation, which established the Western traditions of morality and rationality, rejected this reasoning, declaring that nothing in the creation can change the human heart, only God can. This psychology, as Karl Marx rejected, giving lip service to it at the most in order to deceive the innocent and the naive. Norman Brown. The entry into Freud cannot avoid being a plunge into a strange world and a strange language, a world of sick men. It is a shattering experience for anyone seriously committed to the Western traditions of morality and rationality to take a steadfast, unflinching look at what Freud has to say. Our real choice is between holy and unholy madness. Open your eyes and look around you, a madness is in the saddle anyhow. It is possible to be mad and to be unblessed, but it is not possible to get the blessing without the madness. It is not possible to get the illuminations without the derangement. I wagered my intellectual life on the idea of finding in Freud what was missing in Marx. Norman O. Brown, Life Against Death, The Psychoanalytical Meaning of History. John Dewey, A democratic society repudiates the principle of external authority. God is the source of corruption in individuals. John Dewey, Democracy and Education. Abraham Maslow, in a democratic society, a patriarchal culture should make us depressed instead of glad. A patriarchal culture is an argument against the higher possibilities of human nature, of self-actualization. In our democratic society, any enterprise, any individual has its obligations to the whole. Abraham Maslow, Maslow on Management. Kenneth Benny. We must develop persons who see non-influencability of private convictions in joint deliberations as a vice rather than a virtue. Kenneth D. Benny, Human Relations in Curriculum Change. Jürgen Habermas. In the dialogic relation of recognizing oneself in the other, they experience the common ground of their existence. Jürgen Habermas, Knowledge and Human Interest, Chapter 3, The Idea of the Theory of Knowledge as Social Theory. Jürgen Habermas, who was a transformational Marxist, Marxists who merge Marxism and psychology, both of which reject the father's authority, explained how dialogue, the children finding their identity in one another, is used to liberate the children, dopamine emancipation, from the father's authority, and thus man from God's authority. Irvin Laszlo, bypassing the traditional channels of top-down decision, making our objective centers upon transforming public opinion into an effective instrument of global politics. Individual values must be measured by their contribution to common interests and ultimately to world interests, transforming public consensus into one favorable to the emergence of a stable and humanistic world order. Consensus is both a personal and a political step. It is a precondition of all future steps. Irvin Laszlo, A Strategy for the Future, The System's Approach to World Order. Irvin Laszlo, the originator and promoter of climate change, was explaining the consensus process, where, through the use of dialogue in a group setting, the father's authority is excluded in establishing rules, policy, and law, thus liberating the sensation of dopamine emancipation, that is, lust for pleasure in the participants, negating the father's authority in the participants in the process, directly affecting, that is, justifying their carnal actions. Proverbs 16 verse 5, Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. No matter how many people join you on the pathway to destruction, it is still the pathway to destruction. The philosophy of praxis. Colossians 3 verse 9, Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. The Greek word for deeds is praxis. Praxis is the practice or action of leaving the father's authority out of your communication with yourself and with others when it comes to behavior, in other words, not recognizing accountability to God for one's thoughts and actions. Antonio Gramsci, The philosophy of praxis is the absolute secularization of thought, an absolute humanism of history. Antonio Gramsci, Selections from the Prison Notebooks. In praxis, you do not have to attack the father, thus giving him recognition. All you have to do is leave what he says out and he becomes irrelevant, something to be removed from the environment when he shows up and gets in the way. That is why you are asked to be positive and not negative in meetings, asked to leave the father's authority out of the conversation, other than to criticize it, call critical theory, critical criticism, critical race theory, critical thinking, etc. The name for the national test for teachers is praxis. Colossians 2 verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Ephesians 5 verses 5 to 7, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Martin Luther wrote regarding education, I greatly fear that the universities, unless they teach the Holy Scriptures diligently and impress them on the young students, are wide gates to hell. I would advise no one to send his child where the Holy Scriptures are not supreme. Every institution that does not unceasingly pursue the study of God's Word becomes corrupt. Luther's Works, Volume 1, The Christian in Society. Watch your language. Your language reveals who you are. When it comes to behavior, your language reveals your paradigm. Our ability to reason comes from God, either using it to do His will, from being told, discussion, or using it to justify our flesh, dialogue. Justifying, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, in disobedience to God called sin. Which one we use when it comes to behavior determines who we serve, either God or the flesh and the world that stimulates it. This is why David hid discussion, what the Father said in his heart, where he was tempted to dialogue, that is, justify his lusts and therefore disobey. Psalms 119 verse 11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The meaning of change as used today does not mean by persuasion, based upon established commands, rules, facts, and truth, changing from one position to another but rapidly changing in response to the current situation, based upon your feelings of the moment, that the environment is stimulating, approaching pleasure and avoiding pain, which includes the mental pain of missing out on pleasure, following after, supporting, defending, praising, worshiping, even dying for those who justify pleasure, lust, known as facilitators of change, rejecting those who insist everyone doing right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth that get in the way of pleasure, lust. True science, which is based upon discussion, known facts is now replaced with so-called science, which is based upon dialogue, the opinions of men being tossed back and forth until there is a consensus, a feeling of oneness, where everyone has compromised in order to have group hug, the approval of man, in order for man to sin without having a guilty conscience, with everyone's affirmation no longer being judged, condemned, and cast out. Thomas Kuhn explaining his paradigm shift concept of pre- and post-paradigm periods, where facts-based scientists are replaced with feelings-based scientists. Thomas Kuhn quoting Max Planck, A new scientific truth does not triumph by convincing its opponents and making them see the light, but rather because its opponents eventually die, and a new generation grows up that is familiar with it. Whereupon the man who continues to resist after his whole profession has been converted is ipso facto ceased to be a scientist. Thomas Kuhn, The Structure of Scientific Revolution. When education is based upon being told, that is the preaching of commands and rules to be obeyed, the teaching of facts and truth to be accepted as is and applied, and if there are any questions using discussion, where the Father has the final say, rewarding those who obey and do what is right, chastening those who disobey and do things wrong, casting out those who question, challenge, defy, disregard, attack authority, it supports the Father's authority. When it is based upon feelings, the effective domain of the students instead, with students dialoguing their opinions to a consensus, it negates the Father's authority in the minds of the students, engendering anarchy, rebellion, and revolution against the traditional home and civil society, both of which depend upon discussion in order to maintain order, as in old world order. Kindergarten was developed by socialists in order for children to experience a learning environment without being told. This is the dialectic pathway, the broad pathway of humanism, of socialism, in any form, be it fascist, communist, globalist, Marxist, where the child's carnal nature, stimulus response, change rules over and therefore against the father's authority, doing what you want rules over and therefore against doing what you are told, where your lust for pleasure rules over and therefore against your having to humble, die to, capitulate yourself, deny your lusts in order to do right and not wrong, according to the father's established commands, rules, facts, and truth. Fascism is included because the father's authority is negated in the home as well as in the church. More than half the girls came back from the Nazi youth camps pregnant, something I am sure their fathers would not approve of. Hebrews 10 verse 25 instructs us on the importance of fellowship. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, this verse or portion of a verse is used to pressure those who have left the church because of its apostasy, because of its use of dialogue, that is dialectic reasoning, to grow the church to return. They do not share the rest of the verse and the verses following, verses 26, 27, for obvious reasons. But exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. You cannot grow the church if you adhered to these verses. You cannot use dialogue, man's opinion, establishing man as being equal with God, making man greater than God when it comes to his word. These verses expose those who do so as wolves in sheepskin, as facilitators of change. When you build relationship with others upon self-interest, upon what you and they covet, what you and they are lusting after, you make yourself subject to them instead of to the Father. In their suggesting the building of relationship upon self-interest and you're listening to them, you're thinking about doing it, you have already given them authority over you. You would not be listening to them if you were not already thinking about doing what you were not supposed to do, coveting, lusting, leaving the Father, what the Father says out of your conversation with yourself and with them, making room for your and their carnal desires in the conversation. Romans 10 verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. While there are those who perceive themselves as being saved by obeying the law, known as legalists, there are those who, rejecting the law, reject God altogether. Salvation is not found in obeying the law or in rejecting the law, but in faith in the person Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who, obeying the Father in all things commanded, took our place on the cross, covering our sins with his own blood. Romans 5 verses 8 to 10, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Galatians 2 verses 16 and 20, 21, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Whoever denies the Father, that is law, denies the Son, that is their need of a Savior, who, by his shed blood on the cross, redeemed us from his Father's wrath upon us for our disobedience, for our not fulfilling the law. Romans 1 verses 28 to 32, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Max Horkheimer, Protestantism was the strongest force in the extension of cold rational individualism. Max Horkheimer, Reasoning and Self-Preservation, Protestantism, the priesthood of all believers, doing your best as unto the Lord, putting no man between you and the Lord, was recognized by the Marxist Max Horkheimer as the source of individualism, under God, needing to be negated if globalism was to become a reality. He recognized that, unlike the Catholic Church, cults, and all forms of socialisms, local, national, and global, which use group dynamics to control the people, there is no theocracy, that is man taking up arms to defend the faith in and of this world. John 18 verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." You cannot defend your faith. You can only defend your flesh. Faith as a shield defends you, that is your soul. You cannot defend faith. Protestantism liberates the individual from groupthink. The believer might be in the group, but the group is not in him, that is, he, now under the Father's authority, is no longer of the group, making him able to come out of the group, 2 Corinthians 6 verses 14 to 18, that is, he able to stand alone with the Lord, when and if the fellowship goes wrong, that is, if it, through dialogue, goes counter to the Word of God. It was when Luther, in his effort to become a good Catholic, discovered Catholicism was based upon Aristotelian ethics, where in Gnostic form men's opinions were used to redefine the Word of God, making it more understandable to man and adaptable to change. That which is below corresponds to that which is above, and that which is above corresponds to that which is below, to accomplish the miracles of the one thing. The Emerald Tablet of Hermes Trismegistus. Translated by Dennis W. Hawk. The Hermetic tradition was both moderate and flexible, offering a tolerant philosophical religion, a religion of the omnipresent mind, a purified perception of God, the cosmos, and the self, and much positive encouragement for the spiritual seeker, all of which the student could take anywhere. Tobias Charton, the Golden Builders, Alchemists, Rosicrucians, and the First Freemasons. Even Martin Luther understood the use of Gnostic writings, Aristotelian philosophy, in the corrupting of the church. Martin Luther: Aristotle condemns us. In short, philosophers know nothing about God the Creator and man made of a lump of earth. Augustine says that he found all things in the Platonic books except this one thing, that the Word was made flesh. But Hermes Trismegistus composed that book for Plato. That book reached Augustine, and he was deceived by its persuasion. Footnote concerning Trismegistus, an Egypto-Hellenic theologian. Augustine has an extensive discussion of Trismegistus in The City of God, 8:22-27. Luther's Works, Volume 34, Career of the Reformer, 4, page 143. The use of Aristotle: create a healthy environment and you can create a healthy person. That is, stimulus response was what the Protestant Reformation rejected. Nothing in the creation can change a man's heart. Only the work of Christ, and Christ alone, can change a man's heart. Jürgen Habermas: if the restoring of life of the world is to be conceived in terms of the Christian revelation, then Marx must collapse into a bottomless abyss. Jürgen Habermas, Theory and Practice. Marxists know of God's judgment upon them for their sins, but seek to remove his word from the environment so they can do wrong, disobey, sin, that is, lust, without having any sense of guilt. Romans 1 verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. See Romans 1 verses 21 to 31. Martin Luther: miserable Christians, whose words and faith still depend on the interpretations of men and who expect clarification from them. This is frivolous and ungodly. The scriptures are common to all and are clear enough in respect to what is necessary for salvation, and are also obscure enough for inquiring minds. Let us reject the word of man. Luther's Works, Volume 32, Career of the Reformer, 2, page 217. In vain does one fashion a logic of faith, a substitution brought about without regard for limit and measure. Luther's Works, Volume 31, Career of the Reformer, I, page 12. My advice has been that a young man avoid scholastic philosophy and theology like the very death of his soul. Luther's Works, Volume 32, Career of the Reformer, 2, page 258. The sophists have imposed tyranny and bondage upon our freedom to such a point that we must not resist that twice accursed Aristotle, but are compelled to submit. Shall we therefore be perpetually enslaved and never breathe in Christian liberty, nor sigh from out of this Babylon for our scriptures and our home? Luther's Works, Volume 32, Career of the Reformer, 2, page 217. The sophists, nevertheless, rise proudly up, hold their ears, close their eyes, and turn away their heart just so that they may fill all ears with their human words, and alone may occupy the stage so that no one will bark against their assertion. The word of man is sacred and to be venerated, but God's word is handed over to whores. The meaning of sin is dependent on the arbitrary choice of the sophists. Luther's Works, Volume 32, Career of the Reformer, 2, page 216. We do not become righteous by doing righteous deeds, but, having been made righteous, we do righteous deeds. Luther's Works, Volume 31, Career of the Reformer, I, page 12. A note here regarding the current translations: they are all subject to dialogue, to the opinions of men, even the New King James Bible, deliberately done to cause confusion in the fellowship, leading believers astray. The history behind this goes directly to the method used to copy the original texts. With the one pathway using discussion, what exactly did Isaiah or Paul write down? Working to keep the text original, not changing one word. This was done by copying letters with many proof checks to make sure the new copy was as the original. These manuscripts, fragments, and letters, which numbering in the thousands, were smuggled into Europe from the Eastern Church as the Muslims took over Constantinople. They were compiled into what are known as the Textus Receptus, the Greek and Hebrew of the Strong's Concordance. Luther translated the German Bible from this source, as did Tyndall, King James, and Calvin. The other path was taken by the Catholic Church, which used dialogue. We feel and we think as its method of copying, focusing upon words, changing them to fit the current culture, that is, human nature, thus corrupting the word. This made the word of God, which it no longer was, subject to the opinions of men, making the church subject to the leadership to know what they saw the word saying for the day, with those in the church paying them for their wisdom. In Luther's effort to be a good Catholic, he discovered as he researched in the library that the Catholic Church used dialogue to make the word of God and the people subject to their agenda, which was using the church to control the people for the purpose of making money. In the 1882, Catholics, posing as Protestants, gained control of the committee overseeing the Textus Receptus and convinced them to use three Catholic sources, Vaticanus B, Sinaiticus, Codex X, of Gnostic construct, which conflicted with one another, making the Textus Receptus now subject to the opinions of men, restoring dialogue back into the church. The Metzger, Nestle, Alun. Greek texts which ministers learn from in seminary are based upon this heretical copies, with all contemporary translations being subject to them. They will martyr you, excommunicate you without writ, if you say this in seminary or even in the contemporary church today, with dopamine, lust, and the praises of men now in control of their brain. Many members of the congregation discerned the heresy of the church growth movement because they, unknowingly, detected the change in language from discussion to dialogue, the compromise that these false copies brought into the church, thus replacing righteousness, that only God can change the human heart with sensuousness, building relationship upon common self-interest so we can all get along, becoming the focus of church. Only God is good, righteous. His righteousness is imputed to man only by his faith in him. When man attempts to create a good person by creating a good environment for him to grow up in, all he has to work with and therefore actualize is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, justifying his self, that is, his lusts before men, deceiving himself and all who listen to him, dying in his sins. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Hebrews 11 verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Romans 10 verse 17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The Father's authority requires faith. The child's carnal nature requires lust, which the world, sight, engenders. Herein lies the difference between traditional and transformational education, that is knowing from being told, that is the father's authority, which deals with the soul belief action dichotomy, and the experiment, that is knowing from sense experience, that is from lust for pleasure and hatred toward restraint, that is from the child's carnal nature which is stimulated by the world, stimulus response, theory practice. The land of the free and the home of the brave is negated as students, beaten down by the group, are pressured to abandon freedom of the conscience, that is individualism, under God for approval of the group, the facilitator of change with his insistence upon dialogue. When it comes to behavior is the serpent in the garden, liberating the children from the father's authority so he can be worshipped by the children, not caring about their soul, that is where they will spend eternity, damning their soul. In his article The Holy Family, Karl Marx explained the Christian faith. You have to know how what you want to negate works in order to make sure it does not come back again, negating its effect upon the individual and thus upon society through the use of generalization. The unspeculative Christian also recognizes sensuality as long as it does not assert itself at the expense of true reason, that is of faith, of true love, that is of love of God, of true willpower, that is of will in Christ. Not for the sake of sensual love, not for the lust of the flesh, but because the Lord said, increase and multiply. Through the use of generalization, using fruit trees as an example, Marx explained how the believer can be seduced, that is pulled into compromise, setting aside his faith in order to get along with others in order to do what he wants, what the Father's authority is preventing him from doing. In The Holy Family, Marx wrote, it is not sensuality which is presented, but the attraction of what is forbidden. Karl Marx, The Holy Family, emphasis added, building relationship upon self-interest, upon lust, upon the attraction of what is forbidden, upon what that which not yours to have but someone else's is the hallmark of Marxism, requiring the person to negate the father's authority, remove the father from the environment in order not to have a guilty conscience, in order not to be judged, condemned, and cast out, that is rejected because of their carnal thoughts and carnal actions. It is a sad day when you have to explain Marxism in order to explain what is happening in the world around you today. In other words, according to Karl Marx, it is lust, that is enjoying the carnal pleasures of the moment, that the current situation and our object, people, or person is stimulating, that makes us at one with the world, establishing lust over and therefore against the Father's authority, that gets in the way. Self is therefore actualized in lust, not in doing the Father's will.